What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Crossing Routes podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. My name is Herms, joined as always by my good friend Tyler O, and we had all sorts of crazy stuff happen in week three of the NFL season. And now it's our time to sit back and share all of our thoughts and fantasy relevant pieces of information that we found to share with you, with everybody. That's the whole thing. It's the whole show. Week three, we're going over our notes. But before we get into that, Tyler, how are you doing?
Life is good, man. We got a lot to get to today, a lot of games, a lot to recap. Also, my Lions are playing right now, so don't want to wait too long here. Let's just ride, man. Let's get into it.
Absolutely. Got all sorts of information. Got all sorts of waiver wire advice. Forgot to mention that. We will go with our waiver wire recommendations throughout the show as well. But let's just get right into it. Let's get back to reviewing NFL Week 3. And we can start with the Thursday night football game that was actually low-key way more interesting than I thought it was going to be between the Miami Dolphins and the Buffalo Bills. Bills end up coming out with a win in this one, but Miami was like weirdly competitive. I don't know. It was actually kind of nice to see. Any major thoughts from this game for you, Tyler?
Waddle is playable at this point in time. We've seen a couple good weeks here. He's been getting 5-6 targets every single game, scored another touchdown. Certainly think that Waddle is flex worthy going forward. Dalton Kincaid, man. He keeps crushing, but he sees like 55% of the snaps. Like, I don't know what's going on here, but he's making it. We're making it work just with a very, very suboptimal snap rate. I think it is going to come down to earth eventually, but considering his position, we got to at least respect what Kincaid is doing here. And the wide receiver, it's just the rotation is spread so thin. I can't trust a single pass catcher outside, maybe Kincaid, on this entire Bills offense. It's crazy to have an offense that is this good, but none of the pass catchers are of interest. And then back to the Dolphin side of things, Ollie Gordon. Certainly a waiver wire guy I'll be looking at this week, as he handled about, I think, 9 of the 21 carries, even got some goal line work there. Certainly want to get Ollie Gordon on your bench.
Absolutely. I definitely with you on all the Dolphins stuff. And as it pertains to the Bills, mind you, listeners, I'm not going to have a full answer to this until my weekly usage report comes out later in this week, because the data hasn't run yet, so I haven't done all of the research into this yet. But I'd be willing to bet, just based off of the early results, the Bills' pass rate's not super high. They've been doing so well in these games to the point where they are just pounding the rock and kind of draining things a little bit. And I think that that really does have a lot to do with the frustrating nature of some of these receivers. Now, obviously, like I said, I'm not going to have any, you know, concrete findings until that article comes out on Wednesday. But I do just want to let people know the upcoming schedule for the Buffalo Bills. They are home against the New Orleans Saints, home against the New England Patriots, at Atlanta to face the Falcons, and then a bye week. So the next game that they're going to play that I think might actually have huge shootout opportunity would be week 9 against the Kansas City Chiefs. So, like, I'm just preparing people now. Just something to think about, just something you may want to keep in mind. Is that something that you are, you know, a little bit worried about now that we kind of think about, like, oh, if the Bills are going to be this dominant, is this just how run heavy they're going to be?
Yeah, man. I love that tidbit there. I did not look that far ahead. They're probably just going to keep pounding the hell out of the rock. Cook is probably going to be a top three running back during that time, and we're not trusting any of these pass catchers at all during this period of time either. Dalton Kincaid's an interesting one for me, as I've been fading him, and it's made me look stupid, but it's just because he's not a full-time tight end. So considering the position, I feel like you still got to get him rolling out there. But, man, that's a good point. I don't see any use for these pass catchers going forward. It's just not going to happen for him.
Yeah, but just something to keep in mind, something to keep in mind moving forward, folks. And that is what the show is all about. And speaking of moving forward, we are moving forward to a game between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the New England Patriots that produced some pretty interesting results, particularly for Jalen Warren. I have some of my own thoughts on that we can get to in a little bit. But are there any major takeaways on either side of the ball for Pittsburgh or New England in this one for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be Jalen Warren's usage here. I mean, they really leaned on this guy entirely. A lot of people were drafting him, kind of counting on this. Maybe it took a little while to get here, but the usage from Jalen Warren is a workhorse usage. Offense might be a little bit slow, but this kind of volume out of any running back, regardless who it is going to be pretty safe from the Steeler. That's the only Steelers take that I really have. Patriots side, Drake May looks like he's back. Hunter Henry blew up after I told people to bench him. Up until week 3, Hunter Henry was like splitting reps with Hooper, and then all of a sudden he didn't. Makes sense. Hunter Henry should not be splitting reps with Austin Hooper. But I'm glad he's not, because when he's not, he crushes it. 8 catches, 90 yards, 2 TDs. Man, Trayvon Henderson's going to be taken over here soon. I mean, that's the piece that I really want to get over here. Like, Mondre Stevenson fumbles twice, I think. Antonio Gibson fumbles. It's Trayvon Henderson time, man. I've been calling for it for a while. I know they're being a little bit old school about it, but, man, we really got to start giving Trayvon Henderson more looks as a Patriots team. I mean, it's just a matter of fact that this offense needs to keep rolling. He's their best running back. To me, he's just a guy where, man, I'm just like, you know, wish casting here, but, dude, it's got to happen sooner than later with Henderson. It really has to. They can't keep rolling Ramondre Stevenson and Antonio Gibson out there like they are.
Yeah, and I think, like, after the whole fumbling debacle with his teammates, it was primarily Trayvon Henderson out there. Like, I think it was one of those sort of, like, oh, my gosh, what are we doing type moments for Mike Vrabel and them. Maybe that was just the switch that needed to flip, and they were like, wait a minute, we could actually be putting our best running back out on the field? Who would have thought? And, like, I don't know. I'm with you. I'm cautiously optimistic with that moving forward. I think this might just have to be a thing they keep up. And otherwise, we basically have the same thoughts. Shout out Jaylen Warren for getting that huge volume. And hey, if you were one of those people that was just praying for Jaylen Warren to finally become this workhorse guy, well, you finally got it. But unfortunately, it came at the cost of being in an offense with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. Ah, the webs that we weave. What a sad state of affairs. Now on to our next game between the Green Bay Packers and the Cleveland Browns. This one, you know, pretty par for the course for Green Bay. I don't know. I don't really have anything to take away too much from them. But on the Cleveland side of the ball, dude, like, Quinshon Judkins, welcome. Welcome to your bell cow do-it-all role, my friend. You are in control of this backfield. Shout out Quinshon Judkins.
Yeah, anybody who's been able to get him, drafted him, or got him on waivers, huge W. For him to do this against a Packers defense who's looked nothing but absolutely elite so far this season, he's going to be looking better going forward. I mean, I wouldn't even, I think he'd be a top 15 back going forward. I don't think that's too crazy to say. Jerome Ford, unfortunately, got the passing downs over Dylan Sampson. I do think Dylan Sampson's probably a bit of a drop here. It was nice to see him get some passing work. He could eventually overtake Jerome Ford, but let's not, lead anyone down the wrong path. The only running back you really want here is Quinshon Judkins going forward, and that's that, right? And then the Packers side of the ball with Reed out. We got a little more clarity with the wide receivers. Obviously, Dubs Lee led, and then Golden obviously kind of went second there, but Wicks was right behind. Still not that interested, just considering how this offense operates. And that's really all I have to say about that. There's no one that I'm going to be picking up, and no one that I think needs an extra note here. Just, we saw some usage, I went over it, and that's all I really got here, Herms.
The next game on the slate that was pretty fun, the Colts just running up the score, looking like one of the best offenses in the league, just crushing the Tennessee Titans, or should I say Cam Ward, Tony Pollard, and Elik Iomanor. That the only three players that are on the entire Tennessee Titans offense that matter, right? Is that it? Do I have that right?
Yes, man. It's over for Calvin Ridley, man. One catch. He's killing people who drafted him. I mean, people have been probably starting him every single week in some leagues, and it's not happening. I'm not like ready to say like, oh, Elik Iomanor is completely past him, but shoot, man, it certainly looks that way. We were talking about Elik Iomanor all offseason. Shouldn't be on your waivers. If he is, he's absolutely a priority add. I've been pounding the table for Tony Pollard all offseason. Glad he finally was able to find the end zone here. So no notes here except for Elik Iomanor is acting like the wide receiver one over Calvin Ridley. Do I think it sticks? I'm not sure. But at the same time, Ridley was looking like a massive bust, and Iomanor has no business on the waiver side. And then flipping over the Colts, I mean, Daniel Jones is the truth, man. They had that one year with the Giants, and he's looking like that was not a fluke.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, other than that, you know, Michael Pittman back on track. I think him and Downs will go back to back here and there. Sometimes it'll be Downs. Sometimes it'll be Pittman. Might be a little bit frustrating. Don't need to say anything about Jonathan Taylor. But Tyler Warren, man, he's out there, full-time tight end. Looks like one of the better steals. Him and Tucker Kraft are probably with the two best steals so far at the tight end position. Tyler Warren's looking like the absolute real deal here. Thrilled if you got him on your team.
I don't really have anything else to add, so we can quickly hop into our next game, which was also a bit of a blowout, but more of the depressing kind, because we saw the Cincinnati Bengals in their first game. Jake Browning taking over. He's going to rally the troops and push it forward, and they lose 48-10, and it's probably the worst performance we've seen probably in Chase Brown's entire career. 10 carries for 3 rushing yards. No, that was not a typo in the box score, folks. That is actually a real thing. When you checked your app and you saw 3 yards, How are we feeling about the Cincinnati offense in the post-Joe Burrow world? And was there anything fun from the Carson Wentz-led Vikings that looked low-key pretty good?
About all the backups here, I do think people are not giving enough credit to how good the Vikings defense is. They were blitzing all night and they could not handle it. So long term, I do think Jamar Chase is fine. I think Chase Brown will be more of an RB2 going forward. But that's the issue with Chase Brown is half of the appeal was that he was on an electric offense led by Joe Burrow. When you remove that electric offense with Joe Burrow out of the picture, he does become more of like a, you know, okay talent with volume, which is okay. You can get by in fantasy with that. There's going to be better weeks. But it's not looking like he could be an RB1 anymore. And T. Higgins, I actually called him to be benched. Didn't look so bad. And I think these next couple matchups, looks like they got the Broncos and the Packers. I think T. Higgins is going to be riding my bench these next couple weeks as well. So the Bengals, really, you got to start Chase Brown as an RB2. Jamar Chase is always a start, right? You might have to temper expectations a little, but he's always a start. But I mean, I think my call here is that T. Higgins is looking like a bench prospect here for the next couple of weeks.
It's definitely a little bit dangerous, but hey, look, hey, here's a possibly very real scenario. If you do have T. Higgins on your team and you're looking for a receiver off of your bench, maybe one that you drafted, maybe one that was suspended that's coming back next week, maybe somebody like Jordan Addison. I do really want people to focus in on the fact that the Vikings' target share with Carson Wentz under center was very heavily consolidated. 7 in the direction of Justin Jefferson, 6 to T.J. Hockenson, and 5 to, I guess in this game, wide receiver to Jalen Naylor. Everybody else, it was basically just one or two throws coming their way. It's really only just going to those three core places. And starting next week, when Jordan Addison returns from his suspension, theoretically, now they are traveling overseas to Ireland and then they have their bye week. So don't be shocked if Jordan Addison doesn't make the trip or even debut. I don't really have any sort of like, you know, sources or anything that I'm, you know, just think about it. If they're traveling to Europe, it might be a good point being, if Jordan Addison's coming back and Carson Wentz is going to be under center, there's at least chance for a pretty interesting role. I'm pretty excited for it. Just something I wanted to make note of. You getting stoked about that?
I am. I got Addison on some benches. I'm really going to need him back. Carson Wentz, I called him a streamer. He was fine. Definitely not an L, but there's a couple better streamers like Mariota out there. Then I said T.J. Hockenson was a start. Did great. 5 for 49 and 1. Wentz is looking good. He's operated an offense that's super QB friendly. And then obviously Jordan Mason, he's getting the volume here. He's not going to smash for 100 over 100 yards and 2 TDs every single week, but certainly an RB2 going forward.
And then we get into our next game between the Los Angeles Rams and the Philadelphia Eagles. Honestly, a very fun game. I had a pretty good time watching that. And, you know, I think Eagles fans and especially people who roster Eagles players besides Saquon Barkley in fantasy were getting a little bit nervous early on, but then they flipped that switch, dude. They finally turned it on. They had to air it out. And it was a great game for AJ Brown, a very solid effort as well from Devontae Smith, 8 catches for the team lead, 60 yards and a touchdown. Like, pretty fun all the way around and just 2 ridiculously fun high scoring offenses.
Yeah, man, it's a good reminder. I think people who drafted these pass catchers on the Eagles were just ready to call quits. They're super frustrated. But you got to remember, if the Eagles go down, this is what they can do. This is an elite football team, folks. They'll do what it takes to win games. And for the most part, they usually just run the ball down people's throats, Hurts, Saquon, and they win games. They don't have to throw the ball. And it's frustrating for folks who drafted A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith. But it's a good reminder, when they're down 26-7, they can turn this switch on instantly. A.J. Brown, over 100 yards in a tutty. Devonta Smith, 60 in a tutty. Goddard even scored. I mean, this is why we drafted players from this offense, is it's an elite team running and passing. That's just the way it goes. And then from the Rams side of the ball, I mean, Puka and Devonta Adams had over 70% of the targets. Kyren Williams, while he's lost some snaps to Corum, Corum's looking strong, man, as the change-up base. Like, he really is the change-up, kind of change of pace back, and he's looking good doing it. Corum has got to be a priority bench stash for me. We're certainly not starting him, but as we're going through 3 weeks through the season so far, Corum has got to be at the top of the list in terms of handcuff backs because he's looking strong.
Absolutely. You know, kind of like what we saw at the beginning of the season with DJ Giddens being the very, very obvious handcuff to Jonathan Taylor. Sometimes these teams will tip, you know, their hand a little bit and be like, hey, look, if anything happens to this guy, you can definitely count on that guy. So anytime they tell us, you got to take note of that. All right, I think we can squeeze in one more game before we have to take our first break. So let's just go for it. Let's rip through this one. The New York Jets didn't look super great, but they kept it pretty competitive with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and what ended up being a pretty close loss for them. I have some thoughts about the Jets. I don't know that it's, they're kind of gross. Maybe would you rather start by letting us know about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and your takeaways there? Cause I think that's probably more fun. It's more uplifting.
Yeah, yeah, certainly it's more uplifting. Unfortunately, Mike Evans is down with another hamstring injury. He's got some pesky hamstrings, which is just super tough. Looking like probably, you know, 3-4 weeks here. It looks like the minimum. I feel like this is just every year Mike Evans is out for 2-4 games with a hamstring injury. That puts Igbuka, oh my God, what an absolute smash. I mean, things are just going to go, oh my, I don't have words for what's about to happen with Emeka Igbuka. We do expect Godwin back soon, but I mean, this is going to be Igbuka. I wouldn't be surprised if he, you know, at least this period of time is continues to be a top 15 wide receiver. Don't really have too much to talk about the Bucs outside of that. I'd be happy to kind of shift over to the Jets, but for the Jets, man, it's just Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall. We can move on. I don't have much else to say here.
Yeah, I'm going to take a look deeper into some of the usage stats to see if I find anything for the weekly usage reports. Again, foreshadowing, I haven't really done the research yet. Our team usually runs those numbers, you know, after Monday games, the full week is finished and everything. But I don't know, like Braylon Allen is just out there an annoying amount. And I just want to know how annoying that amount is. Because I think one of the things I declared a little bit too early that it was just Breece, only Breece, and nobody else was going to matter. Even if he doesn't really matter super, you know, a ton for fantasy, if Braylon Allen's out there an annoying amount, it will affect how I rank Breece Hall every single week. And honestly, on some of my own fantasy teams, including my home league, it's very difficult. I'm so sad. But I've got plenty of time to worry about that another day. And actually, you know what? I'll worry about that while we take our first commercial break. While you guys enjoy some ads from our advertisers, I will lament over my lineup issues, and then we will get back to the main topic at hand. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, y'all, what's good? It's your boy Herms from FTN's Crossing Routes podcast. I got something pretty cool I want to tell you about, so listen up. Our partners at DraftKings Pick 6 have a deal you don't want to miss. New DraftKings customers, this one's for you. When you play $5 or more on your first paid Pick 6 entry, you'll get $50 in bonus picks instantly. That's right. Play $5, get $50 in bonus picks to keep building your slips, take a shot at big payouts. All you gotta do? Just use promo code FTN to sign up and start playing. If you've been thinking about trying Pick 6, now's the time to get in. Use code FTN to sign up, and all new DraftKings customers can play $5 and get $50 in bonus picks instantly. Let's build some slips. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. Pick6.draftkings.com/promos. One per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 bonus picks that expire in 14 days. Ends October 3rd, 2025 at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos. Sponsored by DraftKings.
Welcome back to the Crossing Routes podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. This is still Herms. It is still Tyler Rowe, and we are still going through our week three takeaways, crossing our little notebooks back and forth with one another. And we pick up with the Washington Commanders just absolutely putting a beating on the Las Vegas Raiders. My biggest thing, I'll just get it out of the way. I think a lot of people are going to look at the rushing distribution in this Commander's backfield and be very pessimistic about, like, oh man, Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, it was supposed to be a bigger role, whatever, blah, blah, blah. It's like, these are dire circumstances, man. It's a, they weren't planning to have Austin Ekeler snap his Achilles tendon. They're trying to kind of figure it out in real time. I think for like a super late day three rookie, the fact that they are still continuing to, you know, let him play even more and more every single week is still a good thing. I wouldn't be too worried about that or anything, but we do have to talk about those other names, Jeremy McNichols, Chris Rodriguez Jr. out in that backfield as well. Are you worried about either of them, and do either of them even matter for fantasy purposes?
I mean, I'm probably sitting them on my bench and waiting for this to shake out. It's a full-blown committee at this point in time. I have no problem getting Rodriguez or McNichols and putting them on your benches to see how this shakes out. I think they both, you know, neither one of them I would say are good backs, but they both have flashed where maybe they're not terrible backs, and we just don't have any answers here. So for me, I don't think they should be on waivers. They'll be on my bench, but I also certainly am not looking forward to starting a single Commanders back going forward. And then also, it looks like we might have had a Terry McLaurin injury on the, I believe it was a quad, something to monitor. Doesn't seem too serious. And Marcus Mariota does what he does. He managed the game and played well, was an excellent streamer for those folks who needed him.
Absolutely. You know, and hey, if for any reason he is out there starting again next week, you may as well go back to the well with him, because I'll be honest, folks, if you are in need of quarterback help out on the waiver wire, there's really not a lot of help there for you. In fact, the only other quarterback I think I'm really interested in that at least currently is a starting quarterback. Aha, they call that foreshadowing in the business. Geno Smith, just because he's out there and he has a job and I don't know, they like to throw a lot. That's kind of what I would do. But yeah, immediate help for quarterback on the waiver wire, just kind of a big takeaway, not just from this game, but like the week. I don't know. It's very, very difficult and it's very frustrating. Anything from the Raiders side of the ball that you want to get into?
Michael Mayer had a concussion. He was out. Looks like he might probably be out week four. Bowers' routes will be up, which is crazy that Mayer has to be out for Brock Bowers to have more routes and more snaps. But honestly, when you look at the state of the Raiders' offensive line, it is so bad that they need Michael Mayer out there blocking or they just can't operate. So with that said, that really leads me to Jeanty. You know, he's fighting out there, but do not think Jeanty is a bust. Like I was on record saying I was fading Jeanty, and you know, I'm not taking a victory lap here. As somebody who faded Jeanty, I'm not taking a victory lap because this is not him. This is not his fault. The offensive line is just that bad. And then the final piece here, Trey Tucker absolutely exploded. I'm not chasing that. Let somebody else waste the fab on the waivers there. That's not happening again.
Now we move on to our next game. Oh, man. Is there anything to take away from the Carolina Panthers hanging 30 unanswered points on the Atlanta Falcons? I don't even know where to begin. So honestly, Tyler, just start wherever you want.
Yeah, dude, it's really tough for me to even – I don't even know what to say here from the Falcons side of the ball. This was Michael Penix's worst NFL game. London's getting volume. Even Mooney got volume, but there's just nothing there. Like, Bijan got enough because he's Bijan, but this was pathetic, man. I was even calling for the Falcons to be a decent streaming defense. So I think that this is just terrible. I don't have a lot to say. It's really concerning. They can't beat the Panthers. It is a divisional game. Always got to talk about that. You never really know how those are going to go down. So I'm not full panicked yet. Certainly not starting Michael Penix anywhere, but Bijan's obviously a start, and we do have to monitor London and Mooney. So that's pretty much all I got here. Is there anything from the Falcons side you want to touch on before we shift to the Panthers?
One quick thing. Anybody who's worried, like, oh man, what about Tyler Algier? Who's this Nathan Carter guy they're giving all these running back touches to? It was a blowout, folks. Like, I had never heard of this guy's name until like the day that it happened. I didn't know who he was. Obviously, they're not going to put Tyler Algier out there, their main, you know, sort of break glass in case of emergency running back in a game like this. So, like, yeah, that's the only thing that I kind of want to caution people against. If you see Nathan Carter's name in the box score, it really doesn't mean anything. But how about them Panthers, baby? How about them Panthers?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't necessarily a great game for Bryce Young, but good enough. Chuba Hubbard, 62% of snaps. Dowdle, I think he's just around 40. It's a concern for Chuba going forward, but obviously it's kind of a fluke of a game, so nothing too to be worried about. I don't really have too much else to add here. McMillan's going to break out eventually. He's clearly great. He's shown some flash. He's getting some volume. It's just I would be going to buy Tet McMillan right now because the breakout is going to come. That's how confident I feel about Tet McMillan, that it's going to happen. The Panthers are going to be fine. Tet McMillan is a buy for me, a buy low. I want him on the squads.
How about another struggling wide receiver, one on a different team? The Jaguars defeated the Houston Texans 17-10, and things are still looking a little bit messy for one Mr. Brian Thomas Jr. Good news, he did see 6 targets. Bad news, it was only for 2 catches. But hey, at least 55 yards. We do have that going for us. How about them Jaguars? Any big thoughts from this offense and how frustrating it's been?
Yeah, I mean, it's like every time Trevor Lawrence throws the ball to Hunter or Brian Thomas, it's terrible. If he throws it to anybody else, it's great. I have no idea what the hell's going on here. I'm certainly in a spot where it's okay to panic a little bit on Brian Thomas Jr. Like, the volume is there, so it might work itself out. But we've seen Shane Waldron ruin elite wide receivers and other offenses in the past. So I think that is what's scaring me the most here. Certainly can't sell the guy because you're not going to get much for him. You got to probably keep rolling him out here. And I think those conversations about Brian Thomas Jr. being a elite wide receiver, man, they might be out the door. I think he could end up being like a wide receiver too, but just considering how this offense is running, then Hunter, man, is he going to play an offense or defense? Apparently neither. So, man, we're not playing him in fantasy anymore. We got to see how this shakes out. It's pretty scary. And the last thing I'll mention is it's looking like a pretty clean split between Etienne and Tutin, which I think it should be. I think they should both be playing about like a 60-40 split. Etienne's still the lead. He saw about a 55% snap share. I think both could be playable. I wouldn't be shocked to see, you know, they both scored a touchdown in this one. I think it's funny to look at because Tutin and Etienne, guys that were going pretty late, are now looking startable. And then the elite, quote unquote, elite wide receivers are just looking not startable. It's just kind of broken right now. And it's concerning from the Jags side of the ball.
And as long as it continues to stay this sort of broken and frustrating, I do believe that it will continue to get a little bit strange with their tight end targets. Ha ha! Look at that. If you need a tight end out there on the waiver wire, I do recommend taking a look at Jaguars tight end Brenton Strange. Two out of the three games, he's been pretty good, man, and they have been giving him enough volume. So I think one of the ways to sort of take advantage of this Jags offense being a little frustrating is just picking up one of the things that works. And thankfully, it's at a position that is hard to find help at. So that's kind of my big thing for the Jaguars is that, hey, if everything else is not really working out, don't be afraid to get a little bit strange with it. That's my message, and I'm sticking to it. Now, over on the Houston Texans side of the ball, there are a couple pretty interesting things here for me, not gonna lie, but I would like to hear you first talking about our good friends from the state of Texas.
Nico Collins, I mean, I think they just like didn't cover him, and he got that touchdown. Great for him. Christian Kirk settling in. I generally think he's going to be okay, might be a decent kind of fill-in going forward. And there's nothing really about the running backs that I'm excited about. We did see a little bit more Woody Marks. They seem to be splitting evenly. Woody Marks is a guy that I absolutely think should be benched. I don't think he's ever going to be a bell cow here, but I think there's going to be some weeks when he's usable. Don't really have a ton here. I think the only player that I'm actually excited to start is Nico Collins every week, and the rest is kind of like, maybe in a pinch, depending if there's buys or injury. Don't have a lot to say.
I will say, I kind of like Christian Kirk. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little bit more excited about this than I think you are, if only because of the fact that, you know, we always talk about on this show, like how important it is for target shares to be very consolidated and how easy that is to kind of forecast. And one of the things we talked about to sort of open the year was the fact that these rookies from Iowa State, they drafted Jalen Knoll, Jaden Higgins, and even a little bit of Xavier Hutchinson out there. They were kind of just mixing in a lot of guys. But the minute that Christian Kirk comes back, it does become a little bit more congealed. And he does see 8 targets. I know he didn't convert for a lot of it, but I think that at least the fact that the offense is starting to homogenize just like a little bit more is kind of exciting. I am perhaps looking at Christian Kirk as being, as you know, and once he fully gets back to health and fully acclimated up to speed, I think he could be a flex guy if this offense starts to take off. Is that a little bit of an overreaction, or do you think I'm onto something?
I think it's fair. Certainly a guy that I think probably shouldn't be on waivers. Get him on your bench. I don't know if I'm going to start him next week, but certainly think a guy who could turn something into something if the Texans can kind of sort themselves out. So I think the take is fine. Certainly don't mind rostering Christian Kirk.
Yeah, you know, and again, it's honestly, it's just a brutal waiver wire week. So we just have to be excited for the things that are out there. And that's one of the things. So we just have to, we got to be happy for it. Now we can move on to a different game and talk about the Los Angeles Chargers overtaking the Denver Broncos. It was a pretty fun one, except for, you know, the whole Najee Harris tearing the Achilles. Bless up for that one. Love you, Naj. Hope everything goes well in your recovery. Anything from that side of the ball that you want to cover?
Not so much. Oronde Gadsden, probably a possible tight end streamer in this one. I think he saw 7 targets, 5 for 46. Disley was out. I thought it'd be Conklin. It certainly was not. I think he's kind of on the radar if you're really needy at the tight end position. The rest about how it expected to go. QJ is absolutely for real. Keenan's good. It was one of Herbert's favorites. Ladd, you know, we cautioned this entering the season that the addition of Keenan Allen would probably hurt Ladd. He's not like he's benchable, but he's certainly not elite anymore. I think those days are past. I do not think Ladd's a buy low. I think QJ and Keenan Allen are here to stay, and that's absolutely no fluke. Ladd is usable, but those days of thinking he's a top 10, top 12 are probably gone. That's basically my Chargers thoughts here. Amari Hampton kind of entered the season as a workhorse and will continue to be. And he finally had a good game, and I think it'll work itself out. He'll be just fine.
No, exactly. Yeah, because I see a lot of people just being like, oh my God, we finally got the breakout. It's, bro, he was getting all the volume and all the looks anyway. Like, I don't know. Like, it was bound to take place. So just, I'm glad it's out of the way so people can kind of relax about it, if nothing else. That's probably my number one takeaway for the Chargers is now everybody can relax about the running backs. But on the flip side of the ball, I'm not sure people are going to be able to relax about the running backs, particularly not the rookie, because RJ Harvey is still doing a whole lot of nothing. I want to know just personally, as someone who has invested a lot in RJ Harvey in redraft, how thin should my patience really be at this point? Because I'm starting to get a little bit annoyed.
Yeah, I mean, it's really tough for me to come up with a reason why you need to be. I mean, RJ Harvey could be rostered as like a handcuff at this point in time, but this is J.K. Dobbins' backfield. There's no question about this at this point in time. J.K. Dobbins is the lead back here. He is the bell cow back here. And Harvey is an afterthought. He is just not used. He is a handcuff back that sits on your bench, and if something happens to Dobbins, which it could, doesn't have necessarily the cleanest bill of health, he could play, but there's no interest outside of Dobbins and Sutton. There's everyone is on Franklin after a big week. He does nothing again. They're going to have different guys pop all the time. But from the Broncos side, it's Dobbins, it's Sutton. We move along.
Absolutely. And we move along to a game where I'm just going to be honest. I don't have any thoughts for either of these teams. So the floor is yours. New Orleans Saints losing in a blowout to the Seattle Seahawks. Tyler, the floor is yours.
I mean, it's gross. Let's start with the Saints side of things. I'll say this, there's enough volume and concentrated volume where I think Olave and Juwan Johnson are more than usable, right? They're seeing enough volume, they're seeing enough snaps. It's ugly, it's not good to see, but in PPR leagues, Juwan Johnson and Olave are absolutely startable. And then Kamara, I think, will work itself out. Not a great game out of him, but he's usable at the running back position. We can move on from the Saints. I don't have anything else and just go to the Seahawks. Obviously, Charbonnet's out. Wasn't a great game out of Kenneth Walker in terms of efficiency, but two touchdowns. Not surprised there, but we saw Kenneth Walker with 16 rush attempts and Helani with 10, which means that they plan on this being a split. I don't think we're going to see one running back on this Seattle backfield truly come out. I think, you know, Charbonnet's out. Helani sees 10 carries. Not a surprise to me. So I just think they don't plan on running Charbonnet or Walker 25 times at any point in time. And then obviously JSN is him. It was good to see the rookie Torrey Horton score a couple tutties in this one on special teams. Certainly, you know, on waivers, we can add them for fun. I don't necessarily think it's going to turn into too much, but nothing else really from the Seattle side of the ball. But shout out Torrey Horton as a guy that could be some fun to add on the bench and see what happens. But really, the only pass catcher we want here is Jaxon Smith-Njigba.
You gosh darn right. I'm with you 1,000%. And we can now move on to the Chicago Bears really sticking it to the Dallas Cowboys, man. I got to say, okay, look, Caleb Williams. That was a pretty good performance, albeit against a very, you know, defense that we've seen struggle. It's going to be a matchup that all managers are going to be able to exploit moving forward into the season. But like, I don't know, man, he just really dialed it up and delivered some absolute bombs to some dudes, including Luther Burden. That was, I don't know, dude, like big play machine for sure. I think anybody who's going to be rushing to the waiver wire to pick up a guy who got 101 receiving yards on 3 catches and 3 targets might want to pump their brakes a little bit. But I don't know. I thought the Bears looked really, really fun.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Bears look fun because the Cowboys might have the worst defense in the NFL. They could really use an elite pass rusher right now, to say the least. I think the Bears in games when they play easy defenses are going to look good. I think the one note here is Dunze is the alpha. He's taken over, even though DJ Moore is still usable in some regard. But Luther Burden's got to be a popular ad here. He absolutely popped. I don't think he's going to do this. There's going to be tougher defenses, but they're starting to use him, and they're realizing, hey, Luther Burden is a little bit explosive, right? So I think Burden's going to be a popular waiver ad, and I'm completely fine with that. From the Cowboys side of things, the CeeDee Lamb ankle injury likely out for a couple weeks. That's really going to suck. I mean, Jake Ferguson feasted, dude. I mean, 13 catches. 80, I mean, he's a cheat code in any kind of tight end premium league. So I don't have a ton here. I'm not adding anyone on the Cowboys side because of the CeeDee Lamb injury. I don't think there's going to be one guy to slot in. Obviously, Pickens could see a little bit of a bump. Ferguson did see a bump, but I just think this offense suffers a bit here. So no real notes outside of that, man. I think the Bears just got a really easy matchup, and things could get tougher when they play more tougher defenses. But it was fun to see things go well. Ben Johnson's offense can work in easy matchups.
What do you know, folks? It just took a matter of time. Always good to be patient and let things play out. Now, our next game, it does come with a major piece of information that I am just going to share with everybody now. Whatever remaining fab you have, if Trey Benson is available on your waiver wire, that needs to be the number one thing that you spend your money on. Now, I do want to caution people a little bit. In the brief windows where James Conner did miss a little bit of time last year, there was an annoying amount of Amari DiMercato that was out there, maybe a deep league running back addition that you can consider. But for most people, I think that this James Conner injury, hope it works out for him in the grand scheme of things, but it's going to be a season-ending injury with his foot surgery that he's going to be having. It's just so sad. But at this point in time, Trey Benson, this is the gig, man. You were a very highly touted running back prospect coming into the league. This is your audition. How excited should people be for Trey Benson in this Cardinals offense?
Yeah, fairly exciting. You know, I was never really on Trey Benson as much, but at the end of the day, man, I think he's an RB2 going forward. I agree with you. I think he's absolutely one of those players you can drop a lot of your fab on, and it's completely worth it. Is he's going to be, I wouldn't say necessarily a huge bell cow, but he's going to be the lead back without question here. So, man, it sucks. We love Connor. So that's a tough one for a lot of people to settle with. And then, you know, Marvin Harrison, I think he dropped a long one in this one, dude. He's a wide receiver 3. Were you arguing this offseason, if I'm not right, Herms, you had him ranked pretty low. Is that, we had that, I was like arguing for him to be ranked around ADP and you had him lower than ADP. Was that correct?
That is very true. And it's also something that I noted in last week's usage report, something that I kind of clued people into a little bit. Hey, see, here's a reason that you guys should, click on this article every time it comes out on Wednesdays. Now, granted, this was through, you know, last week's total, so it's going to readjust some of these numbers a little bit. But one of the more wild things is the fact that Trey McBride had like twice as many first read looks as Marvin Harrison Jr. Like twice as many, that's how words work, first read targets in this offense. Like, he's the alpha, dude. It's not Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, at a certain point, you have to embrace reality, dude. Like, Trey McBride, like, is the thing that makes this offense go. He is the focal point, and I don't know if Marvin Harrison's really going to be able to ascend beyond that.
Yeah, man, I'm with you on that. He's a wide receiver 3. Just not happening. Not with Kyler. That's just not happening. And then 49ers side of the ball. I mean, Pearsall's going to have great – he's going to play great when he's the only wide receiver, right? If Juwan Jennings is out there, he's going to take a backseat to Juwan Jennings. Sorry to the Pearsall truthers. You know, I'm standing on that one. So if Jennings is back, enjoy Pearsall while you got him. While there's no Kittle, while there's no Jennings, yeah, Pearsall's good. There's no one else there. But when Kittle and Jennings are back, Pearsall's taking a back seat. And then CMC, man, I don't really have too much there.
Yeah, I mean, the 49ers offense is pretty simple. So we can now move into our final game that we got on Sunday night. Just the absolute trouncing that the Kansas City Chiefs put on the New York Giants. Although, weirdly, I think some of the highest fantasy appeal comes to us from the losing team. I'll leave the Cam Scatabo conversation to you a little bit, but one of the things that, you know, we have been talking about, we are a pro Jackson Dart show. And the more that Russell Wilson goes out there and continues to do, like, look, like you said on this podcast last week, that game against Dallas where Russ was looking like the vintage version of himself, that was the only time we were probably going to see that. And boy, did like, bro, he looked terrible, especially like that game ending drive marching down, like as soon as they got in close, just he had no idea what was going on. They have to bench Russell Wilson at some point, right?
Yeah. I mean, even if it's for Jameis Winston at this point in time, I'm fine with it, frankly. I mean, somebody's got to play football besides Russ. And then it's funny because Russ looks amazing against the Cowboys, and then go ahead and Caleb Williams looks amazing against the Cowboys. Just you look amazing against the Cowboys when you play quarterback. But they got to do something differently. It looks like Tyrone Tracy looks like he's out a couple weeks. I don't know. It looks like a dislocation or a shoulder or something like that. Scatabo is obviously a huge priority added for some reason. He is available. But they need to get somebody who can actually play the quarterback position. And dude, they got to get Winston or Dart. Somebody out there to get this offense humming, because right now, if they're playing a tough defense like the Chiefs, it's just not happening. And then the Chiefs side of the ball, I don't want to touch this backfield. Tyquan Thornton keeps scoring. We just need Worthy and Rice back. That's really all it comes down to here, man. I got nothing else. I mean, we need Worthy. We need Rice. Kelsey's fine because of the position, dude. But I don't want to touch this backfield whatsoever. I think the Chiefs should be giving Breshad Smith some more looks, because honestly, Hunt Pacheco are just terrible right now.
If anybody, you know, wants to know where the Crossing Routes podcast stands on Breshad Smith, we are pro. We are very much pro. We want to see this man out there. I will say, though, Tyquan Thornton, like, as long as Xavier Worthy is out, again, I'm only saying this because the waiver wire is brutal. If you want the true definition of just a boom-bust play, the long ball connection with Mahomes looks kind of decent. Like, I don't know. Like, regardless of opponent, that role is so, you know, kind of frustrating and unpredictable as it is. So do it at your own risk. But if you really need a high upside play, I don't know. There might be something kind of fun there. But yeah, I guess that about takes care of our analysis for week 3 of the 2025 fantasy football season, and therefore this episode of the Crossing Routes podcast. It's officially over, folks. It's officially over. My name is Herms. His name is Tyler O. And you can check out all of the wonderful content that we come out with on the website, all of our articles, all sorts of fun stuff like that, ftnfantasy.com. We will talk to you all again next week. Adios. Think of better before we go, just to say goodbye. And staying up and sleeping late, you ever wonder why?